Session number 24931, Mr. George Simmons, reels 1 and 2 of ultimately 4. Left channel is informant's mic only, right channel is interviewer's mic only.
Mr. George Simmons, reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Simmons?
Yeah, Elephant Castle. And 13th of the 2nd, 1924.
And could you tell us a bit about your family and your early, you know, your very early years?
Well, my father and his father, that's my grandfather, were both born and bred in London. My mother came from Jarrow. She came down after the war. The First World War, and met my father, who was working in the Hotel Cecil on the Strand. They married in 1923. As I say, I was born in 24.
So. What, tell us a bit about what your father did for a living. He was working as what at the Hotel Cecil?
He was a night valet.
A night?
Valet.
Valet.
Yeah.
And was it, how many were there in the family? Any brothers and sisters?
There was one sister, a twin, who is still alive. She lives at Hartford.
Now, where were you living in Elephant Castle? What sort of accommodation did you have?
We had a house on Hale Street, number 54 Hale Street.
And can you tell us a bit about what was it a happy childhood? Give us an idea of what it was like as a lad.
There were no problems. I used to go out every night. And my mother never seemed bothered about me going out. I used to go up to the Elephant there and meet the people off the tube. All we go was cigarette cards. You got cigarette cards in the. In the cigarettes, and we always used to stop the fellas coming off cigarette cards, mister, you know. And we used to play with them after, you know, or swap them. I used to get quite a few sets with some very interesting ones, cricketers, footballers, film stars, you know. And I say, my mother never used to bother. I'd be out during the night, but, you know, there was problems around there. It was called a rough area, actually. But I think it was, I never got tackled or assaulted or before the war.
Tell me about your education. Which schools did you go to?
I went to Westminster Bridge Road School.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about your education there. How did you do at school?
I did very well there in Westminster Bridge Road School. In fact, I think I was not top, but I was always up there somewhere, about second, third. it seemed to decline after I left there. So, you know, I never got on well after.
What were you good at school?
I suppose I wasn't really athletic or good at sport, but I used to like history, you know, and maths I was quite excelled at, which I say later on served me in good stead when I went on to insurance, you know.
What about outside school? Did you have any particular hobbies? I know collecting cigarette cards, but were you in any of the boys' societies, boys' brigade, boy scouts, anything like that?
I was in the boys' brigade. Yeah, when we moved.
Okay, well, come on. When did you move? When the war started, did you?
Just before the war.
Had you left school?
No.
Tell me where you moved to.
We moved to Hoddesdon or Rye Park. Actually, it was.
That's part of Hoddesdon, though, isn't it?
It's the outer fringe of...
And Hoddesdon's in... Whereabouts Hoddesdon? Just
in Hertfordshire.
And why did you move there?
I don't know, actually. My father fancied... My mother fancied leaving London. I don't know why, actually.
And that was in 1939?
36.
And did you change school, then?
changed school then, yeah. And I'm afraid, I don't know why, I never seemed to do any good there. I think it was...
So you left school at 14?
14.
1938.
Yeah.
What was your first job?
My first job was at Edinburgh for the Homer Colonial. Grocers.
And tell me a bit about what was work was like as an errand boy.
Oh, it was pretty hectic in a sense, because Monday morning we used to have to scrub the floor. This is the errand boy. We'd scrub the floor, then they put damp sawdust down on them. We had to change the billboards outside on the windows. Also, the Homer Colonan always had a brass. I don't know if we ever remember it. They had, and we had to clean that brass, polish it up. And the manager's going, "That's not bright. That's not bright enough now, son. You know, put some elbow grease."
And then after you'd done that, what else were you doing today?
Well, we waited for the orders to come in. That was Monday, see. When the orders come out, I used to go out to Hartford and right out into Haileybury. Haileybury School was between Hartford and, you know, the school.
On your bike?
On a bike, yeah. On a push bike. They never had cars, and even the Homer Colonial never had vans or anything. Most of the big stores had errand boys with bikes.
So you'd have one of those baskets?
One of those. It's got a photograph in there. I'll show you after. It was quite... they used to load you up. You know, you might have about a dozen orders, which was pretty hefty. And then cycle it out into the, you know, wide blue yonder.
Would you be doing that all day then, every day?
Pretty well all day, week.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it, open air. Used to meet the other yobbos round, you know, on their bikes from the other stores. I used to have a bit of a chat.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? Do you remember the outbreak of war?
The outbreak of war on the... That would be on the... it broke out on September.
3rd of September.
3rd of September on the Sunday. And actually, I was doing a paper round out in the Broxbourne, out Broxbourne way, way out from Hoddesdon. And that's when when Chamberlain came onto the radio, somebody stopped me when I delivered the papers and told us, you know, that we were at war.
And what did you think?
And that was a Sunday.
What did you think when you heard?
Well, in respect, it didn't mean a lot to me. I was only, you know, 16 then, actually. I was 16, so it didn't mean a lot to me, really. We appreciated that it's going to be a problem, but everybody thought then, like the First World War, it'd be over in about, you know, 6 months, or be over before Christmas, because it was in September. So that was the sort of general... knowledge that, it'll be finished by Christmas anyway. I won't be called up. But as you appreciate, it did go on for quite a while.
Now, how did the outbreak of war affect your life then, before you were called up?
Obviously, there was rationing started.
Tell me about the rationing.
In the shops, you know, which, as you appreciate, I worked for the Homer Colonial. Now, when it first came on with the ration books... when people came in, you could go anywhere with your ration book and get your rations. But they cut little pieces out of your ration book, you know, butter, tea, etc., lard, bacon, and it was all cut out. Those had to be put aside and counted, you know. I can't remember how long it was, but then it came out. The government decided that it was a bit too fiddly in that, so you had to register with a shop. You could re-register, but you registered with a shop. So you took your ration book in, and they marked it off then on the book, ticked it off, you know. So if somebody came in with a book that was sort of with something, you know, a tick through, say, "Sorry, you've had this," you know.
Was there less work for you because there's less food, less delivery?
Well, actually, yes, I suppose so, really. Everybody, even tinned goods, you know, tinned food or tinned fruit, and that was on ration. So, obviously, the orders that I took out weren't as hefty as the ones before the war, you know. So,
how else did the war affect? That's food rationing.
Yeah.
What about, were there any air raid precautions in Hoddesdon?
Yes. There was, actually, I joined the LDV, which would be before Home Guard.
Tell me about that, then.
Well,
When did you join it?
Well, in 1940, when they were obviously the troops came back, and before the Home Guard, actually, it was called the Local Defence Volunteer.
And that's in LDV. June 1940.
It would be somewhere in that region, yeah, yeah.
And where did you go to join it?
In Rye Park. They had a detachment down there. I'd done the training down there.
But tell me about the sort of training you did with it.
Well, it was only with, in fact, I think some place, I don't know whether we had sticks or some darn thing first. They couldn't do. And then we had rifles, Canadian Ross rifles. Aye.
Can you tell us a bit more about the training or what happened, what sort of things you did?
Well, no, I was only young at the time, so I wasn't involved, you know, greatly.
You joined from 19...
It was about once a week, something like that, you know, because I was only a lad.
And you did that until you were called up?
Until I was called up, yeah, yeah.
Now, what about air raid precautions? Did you have a shelter or a blackout?
Well, we never had a shelter in our home. And I can't recall. I think there might have been some in Hoddesdon, in the town centre, but I can't recall any, like in London.
Well, then what about air raids? What effect did they have on you? Or what did you see of them?
Well, we used to, I must confess, it was rather, I suppose, exciting in a sense, because we used to be out collecting shrapnel in the following day. I'm picking shrapnel up, you know, with the, I suppose most of it might have been guns, you know.
The anti-aircraft
guns. But obviously the planes come over, and also in 1940, in September, when the, you know, Battle of Britain, we used to see them coming over in droves, like little flies up in the sky there, in procession. coming over. Aye.
But no bombing on Hoddesdon?
Well, not to a great extent, but one Saturday night, one of the bombers, whether he'd got in trouble, but he released a stick of bombs and it hit the place where I worked, the Home of Colonial.
Tell me about that. What?
Well, I cycled to work on Monday morning and it wasn't there. It was gutted. But anyway, we got quite a nice little number sorting out the bomb damage, all the goods, etc., you know. So it took nearly all week doing that.
And then how did they get another building? Or what
they
did
got
they,
another, they took another building on the High Street, on the Hoddesdon High Street. Now, I couldn't tell you what number it was, but they did take another shop on there.
Any other effects of the war before you were called up, or any other stories of things that happened to you before you were called up? Or volunteer, I'm not sure what you...
No.
So how did you join the army then? What happened? Were you called up?
I was called up.
Now, what do you remember of the call-up procedure? And when was it?
Well, I think it was in about... It was... Well, I was 18 in February, so I'd get my call-up papers fairly... Do you know, I can't remember the exact date.
That's all right. Round about February then, or March?
It'd be something about March or something. Yeah, when I... March or April. Went to Worley Barracks.
Now, tell me how they called it. What do you remember of the call-up procedure? Well, medical, choice of unit. Were you going in the Army, the Navy, or the RAF, or anything
well,
like
actually,
that?
I put down for the RAF first. I went to St Albans first. I went to the RAF But they only wanted air crew. They only wanted, you know, they got the, they only wanted air crew. There was no ground crew. And as I say, I wanted, a friend of mine was on ground crew, which I wanted. My actual brother-in-law and his brother both were on Lancaster bombers.
But, so you didn't get in the RAF?
I didn't get in the RAF, no.
So when did you go to Whalley Barracks, was it?
I went to Whalley Barracks in, is it Essex? Yeah.
Do you know whereabouts in Essex?
Whalley Barracks. I don't know.
You don't know what town it's in?
Well, it'd be Whalley, wouldn't it? Be Whalley Barracks, aye. Whalley Barracks, aye.
And what was your reception when you got there? That would be about April 42, you think?
It could be a bit after that. Yeah, it could be April. Yeah, it could be April, aye.
And what happened when you got there? How did they receive you?
Well, there were quite a mostly Londoners. And I say they were sort of dispersing them everywhere then. They were going to into the we actually did 6 months, 6 weeks, say, preliminary training.
Yeah, but what happened when you got to the barracks? How did they get you? I mean, you arrived as a civilian.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
did they receive you, kit you out, brief you, sort you out?
Oh yeah, you had to draw all your various equipment from the stores.
What do you remember? What did you get?
We got.
Long time ago, I know.
Yeah. Well, you've got your KD, BD, battle dress, sorry, tin helmet, etc. You've got a Lienfelder, you say, rifle, boots, etc., underwear, bedding. I think there was two blankets you got, and you were allocated to a Nissen hut then.
That's what it was. Tell me about, what was the hut like? What was it like?
It was a Nissen hut. Listen, huh? Yeah.
What was it like inside? What space did you have in it?
Not a lot, really. There was obviously was. I can't. I think there'd be somewhere in the region about 20 people in there. Excuse me, in the Nissen hut. I can't recollect the actual number, but it was something in that region, and you had to lay your kit out, you know, in that apple pie order. For inspection.
Take us through a typical day's training. What sort of day, you know, how would the day start?
Well, obviously there was a reveille at 6:30. You dashed out, got a wash, etc. Then came back for your breakfast.
Now, what was army food like? That's a little digression. Well, what did you think of first time army food?
Well, we'd been on rationing for three years at least, so obviously the army rations were quite, you know, reasonable in a sense, because we never got a lot in fact, some cases on some days it was you could say it was better, really, because you know, the troops more or less got fairly well fed.
After breakfast then, what about the
training?
Tell us what training you got.
Drill. It was.
How
drill.
Did you take to drill?
Not too bad, really. And then there was mostly schemes, rifle training, and then with the Bren gun.
What about the weapons training? Take me. How did they teach you to shoot and to use the rifle, the Bren gun, the rest of it?
Well, with the Bren gun, it was quite instructional in a sense, because they used to strip it right down, and we had to replace it. Obviously, we had to learn as much as we could about it.
Was it a good gun to fire?
Very good, very good.
What
Bren.
Was good about it?
I suppose the accuracy in a sense. Definitely. As you know, actually, it's a conversion. It's with Bren, at Enfield, it was actually, I think, from Czechoslovakia. To my knowledge, that's from somewhere in. That's where the BR came from, And the EN was Enfield, which was produced by Enfield, I believe. Yeah. So.
And what about your rifle training? How did they take you to learning to shoot?
Well, obviously, went out on the range, which was two or three times a week, with the Lee Enfield to the butts, knocking over targets, etc.
Now, were you a good shot?
I was a fairly good shot, yeah.
What do you think made you a good shot? I mean, is it eyesight? What is it?
Well, I suppose it's to do with eyesight, you know. I'm afraid I wouldn't be a lot of good now, but...
you didn't wear glasses then, though?
Oh, good Lord, no, no. And I'd say it... then there was the bayonet practice with the Lee Enfield, you know.
And what was that like?
Oh, it's a bit of a laugh, really, in a sense. You had to, you know, stick your bayonet in this so-called jerry, which was a sack on a pole. Everybody was supposed to shout and loud, make rude noises, you know, because anyway, we managed to get through.
And
the sergeant just say, "What the hell are you doing there, Simmons? You know, you're not sticking a sausage."
And what about that? You mentioned the schemes. What, that tactical exercise, I suppose. What,
yeah. Well,
what sort of thing were you doing?
Well, one scheme was we went. This is when I'd done me 6 months, 6 weeks training, and then you was put on another 6 weeks infantry training.
Still at Worley Barracks.
Worley Barracks. Well, let's
stick to that. So what sort of tax schemes were you doing at Worley Barracks?
Well, I can't remember a lot of schemes, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, what about your other mates, the other recruits? What were they like? How did you get on with them?
Not too bad. Not so bad. But at Worley, as you appreciate, there was all sorts there.
It wasn't any particular regiment, it was just a...
No, it was just a holding...
A primary training centre?
It's a primary training centre. They were allocated out to... it wasn't the Remy then, was it? It was the Royal Ordnance Corps, the Tank Corps, various other units, you know...
The infantry as well.
There was infantry there, but mostly, I think, went to the Royal Fusiliers. But there were all other branches of the army.
So you don't know the number of the primary training centres. They had a number, but you wouldn't remember.
In what respect?
It had a number. Well, all the primary training centres had a number. You don't know it. It's all right. So how did you get on with these chaps, the other chaps?
Well,
did you have any special friends amongst them?
Well, funnily enough, not there, no. It was only when I moved.
Now, what did you think of the instructors, the way they taught you?
Well, quite good, I suppose, really. They were. Some of them were First World War NCOs who obviously knew their stuff. Some had actually were time serving, had been in the army for 10, 20 years, some of them. Yeah.
And did they treat you fairly?
Oh, good Lord, yeah. I don't know. I must confess, I've never had a lot of no bother with NCOs or that. No.
Now, after about 6 weeks, you went. Where did you go then?
We went to Market Raisin, where the race course. We did all our training on there.
Now, who were you joining there?
That was with the Royal Fusiliers.
And this was on the race course?
We were stationed on the race course, yeah.
And tell me about the training you had there. Perhaps a bit about these schemes.
Well, the scheme, one scheme was they released, well, it was actually, it's near Louth, isn't it? But they were released as, I think it was in Louth or Lincoln, somewhere. They released us one night and we had to find our own way back to barracks to Market Raisin. So, and I was the first one back.
Tell me about it. What happened?
I was the first one back. They promised us, I think the result was 50 cigarettes or something then. They used to get a free issue. You got a 50-50 free issue. But I think I got 50 cigarettes for being first one back from the actual scheme.
How did you manage that?
Well, I followed the railway. all the damn way. I got on the railway track and followed the railway all back to Market Race. Yeah.
So you weren't going to get lost that way?
No.
And what other exercises did you have there? Any others you remember?
Well, the other schemes were more or less, the same as what you'd be in action. There was company attacks, platoon attacks, section attacks, which was seven men, all individually, actually.
Now, were you making more friends here amongst the others?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about who you met, because
actually a Liverpool Irish man called Kelly. I don't know how the heck he got into the World Junior League, but the other lads, two of them, another one was called Rackham. He was a Londoner. And there was another fella called Payne.
Now, why did you get on with Kelly, Rackham and Payne? What was it about them that you liked so much?
We just clubbed together, it was a matter of, I don't know, really.
What would you do together?
We used to go out getting drunk or anything, but it was just about having a laugh and a giggle, I think, definitely. Yeah.
And how long were you at Market Race? And this is just with the Royal Fusiliers training. You're not in a battalion yet, are you?
No.
So how long were you there for?
That was six...
6 weeks as well?
6 weeks as well.
So when did you finish? About what month? Because I know you're not quite sure of this.
No, actually. When would that... That would be 3 months, wouldn't it?
Was it in the summer still?
Yeah. When would it be? May, June, July. About July, I suppose, Yeah. Something in that region.
And what happened then? Where did you go next?
It was a unit that, wasn't it? At Market Race. And that was that was the Royal Fusiliers. I think it was was it 7th Battalion? 7th Battalion, I think it was.
But you're not sure?
I'm not too sure.
Okay, so what happened next then?
We just finished our training and we're waiting for embarkation.
As a battalion?
As a battalion.
What happened?
Well...
Tell me, what preparations were made for embarkation?
What respect?
Well, did you have any inoculations?
Embarkation leave? Yes, all the lot, yeah. TAB and there was various inoculations, all the ones you usually go for when you're abroad. You just can't remember all the names now.
Did they have any effect on you? Some people it takes them
back.
No,
they didn't, apparently, no.
Not on you?
Not a bit, no. In fact, it's amazing, really. I don't know why, but I was never bothered by the needle, but I've seen one or two faint with a little keel over, But it never really affected me.
And what about any special kit, any special uniform issued for going abroad?
Well, actually, we did get a KD. Khaki drill, so we knew we were going to... We even were issued with topies. So we thought we might be going to, the Far East or somewhere. But... we landed up...
Hang on. So what about embarkation leave? Did you get any of that, visit home to your parents?
I can't remember.
Okay. So when did you leave? You left about July, August?
Something in that region, yeah.
And what do you remember of the trip out?
They went right out into the... Went away out into the Atlantic, obviously, to avoid the subs, I think it was about... how many days was it? I think we're on the ship for about 10 days, I think.
And what ship was it?
I can't remember. Sorry.
That's all right. That's a long time. And you were going to where?
We landed up in Algiers.
What month would you land? About.
Well, they finished in May, didn't they? I think it might have been June or July.
1943?
43.
So we've just had a little look at the dates between us, and you decided you may have been at St Albans a bit longer. So
you were
at primary training centre at Worley Barracks for a couple of months in 42, late 42, and then a market raise in 42, 43, and then you went to Algiers June 43.
Yeah. What in